I'm a little torn. On the one hand, my voice, I'm afraid, is going to drop, and Yom Kippur is Baruch Hashem looming large. But on the other hand, there's in Parshas Emor, there's one after another, Rambans that speak Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that are hard not to discuss. So I thank you for pulling in. And let's see what the Ramban has in store for us. Two Rambans in particular that stand out. One in Pasuk Chav Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Dal in Emor. The other in Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Last time we learned Ramban, we learned the first Ramban in Pasuk Chav Dalet, Yom about Shabbaton, where he developed the idea of the Mitzvah Haseh of Shvisa, the spirit of the law filling in the skeleton of the various Yisurim of Hilchos Shabbos. And now we turn our attention to the second Ramban in the same Pasuk, Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Chav Dalet, here in page Kufnun Beis. In the Shavel edition, Zichron Truah, the Torah describes in Emor, the Torah describes Rosh Hashanah and the Yom Truah, the Zichron Truah. What does that mean? Zichron Truah? To remember the Truah? Pesuke Zichronos u Pesuke Shofros. Lizkor lehem akedas Yitzchak shekarav tachtav ayel. Lashon Rashi. Says Rashi says, what's a zichron truah? What's that supposed to mean? Yom truah. That means a day for blowing shofar. What do you mean? Zichron truah? So either it means like lehazkir, to mention, like Zachar Tel Shabbos Akacha, Chazal understand, is Brachas Chafam Beis. That's a reference to Kiddush, lehazkir, to talk about Shabbos. Or more specifically, talking about the zichronos. It's the Psukim of Zichronos and the Psukim of Shofros. Lizkar lemakedas Yitzchak shekarav tachtavayel. The Zichronos sounds like mamash, Zichronos, and there's an aspect of Zechira, of remembering, and the Shofros also, because after all, part of Shofros is the, it sounds like, the connection back to Akedah. So that's not really Shofros so much. That's Zichronos. So the Ramban says, one second. If you're looking at Zichronos, the term Zichronos, and you're talking about Zichronos and Shofros, who's missing? Malchus. Hayetzarach Rav Lavi Gam Psukia. Malchus min Hamedrash. He said, if Rashi is starting to talk about two out of the three, he should have mentioned all three, because after all, Shal Yitachin she has Kira Kasim Psukia Zichronos for Shofros below Yaskir Malchus. Number one, logically, why would the Torah be mentioning two out of three, not the third? Either just because it's two out of the three, but not the third, or because Malchus is specifically is the essence of Rosh Hashanah. And not only Misvara is that striking, but we know what the drasha is. Pardoshu asami pasik. Bayulachem lezikar lefnei Hashem lokechem. She'ein Talmud lomar. She'ein Talmud lomar. Tanam say, why have to say ani Hashem lokechem? Bayulachem lezikaron. Okay. This pasuk, where does this pasuk even appear? This will be for you for a zikaron. See on the bottom of the footnote, it tells you by Midbar Yud Yud. And I remember what that's about.
Oh.
It will be for you for a zikaron. Bingo. Parshas Baloscha, Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded on the eve of the aborted attempt to travel from Har Sinai straight to Eretz Yisrael. On the eve of what the Rav describes as a very famous drasha, the triumphant march. It began the triumphant march until one chet after another ultimately spiraled downward into chet ha-meraglim and 40 years in the desert. But at that point, the Baloscha is still the shining moment, the triumphant march. There are gnosim anachna, Moshe says to Yisrael, and one of the last preparations after Kalei Yisrael is organized and the Golem and Machanos and everyone's counted and everyone's ready, we're ready to roll. One of the last preparations of HaKadosh Baruch says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Seil Chashay Chatos Uskesef. We need to have two, a pair of silver trumpets. They're going to be used for a variety of things, including calling everyone together, organizing the camp, including davening in times of crisis, we talked about just the other day, and on Yom Simchasim Moadechem, Rosh Hashanah. On days of Simcha, Rosh Chodesh, Yom Tov, you're going to blow chatzot in the Beis HaMikdash in conjunction with the karbanos. You're going to be a zikaron lefnei Hashem Elokecha. So the Medrash wants to know, so why do you have the term Ani Hashem Elokecha? What's that all about? That seems like it's hanging there. Elazeb bin Yinav v'chol makam v'shata omer zichronos ata somach lehem es ha-malchios. Whenever you have zichronos, you always have malchios together with them. In other words, often Ani Hashem Elokechem, Rashi points this out, particularly in Parshas Kedoshim, oh, you have a mitzvah, and then the Torah said afterwards, I'm God, Ani Hashem Elokechem, I'm the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's always true. But why is it mentioned in this context? So often, Rashi will point out that that's in the context of a mitzvah where only Yerushalayim will keep you on the straight and narrow, because no one, humans won't know whether you're doing the right thing or wrong. Let's say Lifnei Iver, mitzvahs like that, where often either it's obvious to people, the behavior of the chet is obvious, or has to do with intent. I gave someone bad advice for ulterior motives. It was in my best interest. I didn't give advice according to what's in his best interest. That's a violation of Easter Daraisa of the Lifnei Iver Mitzvah. People do all the time, and it's a lot of Daraisa. Rashi comments, quotes from Chazal, Ani Hashem Lakeche, Lifnei Iver Zitim Mitzvah, Yereisem Lakech Ani Hashem. You should have Yerushalayim, I'm God. Well, what's that all about? Because it's often very hard to tell. I might be able to make a legitimate argument that at the time I thought this was in your best interest. Things didn't work out the way I predicted. Who's to know whether I was really motivated by self-interest or by your interest? Who's to know whether I violated the thing or not? That's what Pasuk says. Kadosh Baruch Hu. Remember, Kadosh Baruch Hu does that. He's Yodea Ta'alubos. Rama writes in Hilchos Tshuva, very grateful of it. He knows what's going on inside with him. So oftentimes you see, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem Lokechem, it's sort of hanging there in the context of a mitzvah. It means that idea. This, remember when you're struggling whether or not to follow this din, remember the Ribbono Shel Olam knows. But by the Chatzot Shel Olam, it doesn't really seem to fit. So here the Chayam says a different approach. It's the theme of Ani Hashem Lokechem. I'm a Kaddish Baruch Hu, who runs the world. That's what we call Malchus. So the theme, the topic of Ani Hashem Elokechem goes together with the Zikaron of the Chatzotros, and the Medrash goes on to say, this becomes an archetype. This is the paradigm for throughout Halacha. You have Zikronos, Samech Lehem and Samachis. You can have Malchus as well. And he points out that is a Medrash in the Torah's Kohanim. And it's quoted in the Maseches Rosh Hashanah as well. The Aflam Beit, where the Gemara discusses Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofus. The Rabban says, look, Chazal point out that when you have Zichronus and you have Shofus, you have Malchus also. So why didn't Rashi mention it? So he's struggling. On the footnotes, the bottom, Shevel quotes that the classical Perushim on Rashi responds to this question. The Re'im, Rabbi Elio Mizrahi, as well as Maharal and Zgur Ari, both discuss why would Rashi have only discussed the Choros and Shofros left out of the Machos. But then Rabban, in the next line, sounds like he's giving at least a partial answer for Rashi. This Abakoza Asmachta Midirein. This is anyhow only an Asmachta. This is anyhow not a binding Drasha Gemura min HaTorah. Mach is a Chorus and Shofar, says Ramban, is only Drabana. He says, after all, Mufur Shamru. It's an explicit Gemara, the very end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Holchem Makom Shetokin, and Holchem Makom Shemavarchem. You have a choice on Rosh Hashanah to daven in one of two places. This Gemara gives us a sense of appreciating the things that we take for granted. And we take for granted a whole array of shuls and minyanim to shoot from different nuschaos and different timing and different speeds and this type of chazan and that type of chazan. And everyone has everything. You know what I talk about? Let's say you're far from a large community and you can go to this derfel or that derfel. In that village, they have a shofar, but no machas, zechronos, and shofars. In the other village, they don't have a shofar, but they do have machas, zechronos, and shofars. Which one should you choose? Meaning, in one village they have a shofar, but they don't, this is before printed machzor, Tarash Rapeh. So, when I printed machzor, there were people who had memorized what to say, knew which psukim counts as machzor, chazan, and shofars. There was no chazan who knew to say the psukim, to say the brachas in town number one. But they have a baal tokeya, and they have a shofar. In town number two, either there's no shofar, or no one who knows how to blow a shofar, but there is someone who can serve as a chazan and recite the machzor, the chazan, and shofars. So the Gemara says, so which one should you go to? The Gemara says, you go to where they have to hear a shofar, you'll skip the machas zichron shofar. If you have to triage, you have to pick one or the other, you should choose the shofar. The Gemara says, Pshita, second class line of the column, according to Gemara, Shoshana Plan, of course. How's the Raisa about Drabbanan? Well, obviously, shofar is the Raisa. The machas zichron shofar is Drabbanan. So, nothing to talk about. Oh, what's the chiddush? So the Gemara explained. Lo tzricha avagav da havadai v'hasafek. Gemara says, no. Again, now we appreciate even more, even further from what we take for granted. Town number one, there might be a shofar. There's definitely no chazan, but there might be a shofar. Town number two definitely has a chazan, and definitely no shofar. So that was a question. A chance of a daraisa versus a vadai drabbanan. So that's not pashut, but still the din is, although not self-evident, but the din is still true, it's better to go to town number one, we have a chance of getting the mitzvah d'oraisa shofar, as opposed to town number two, you'll definitely get mitzvah d'oraisa shofars, but you'll miss the shofar. Now, what's Ramban's point in quoting this Gemara to show that mitzvah d'oraisa shofar is exactly only drabbanan? So he says, if it's only drabbanan, he says, 1 second, it's drabbanan, but we have a drasha for it. Which one is it? Is it d'oraisa drabbanan? Ramban says, This drasha is not standard drasha. It's an asmachta. A sidebar about that for a moment, just to understand what asmachta means. What do you mean? It's a drasha, but it's not a drasha. What is it? So the answer is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu transmitted the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, beginning in Har Sinai, and then continuing over the course of the 40 years of the Midbar, all the way until they were encamped in the final encampment in Arvos Moav, Rambam writes in the Hakizamat Teperish HaMishnah, one of the major questions he deals with is, what exactly did HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach Moshe Rabbeinu? He phrased it a little differently, but that's corollary to the question he asked. He asked, what are the different parts of Torah Shavuot? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu transmitter of the course of 40 years, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu transmits to Moshe Rabbeinu the entire text of Chumash, word for word, letter for letter, the Torah Shebichsav. In addition to that, he conveys to him, according to the Rambam, part of the Torah Shalpeh, the core Torah Shalpeh. What's the core Torah Shalpeh? Basic explanations of the Tariq Mitzvahs. Tariq Mitzvahs appear in the Chumash. So basic core explanations of the different Divim. So basic data, basic halachic data, as well as some freestanding facts, halachas of Moshe Sinai. What an Amma is, and how it's filling, and this and that, the different freestanding facts. Some, again, some are interpretations of the Chumash, and some are freestanding pieces of information. And then, in addition to giving him specific facts, Kadosh Baruch Hu also transmits to Moshe Rabbeinu the tools with which to mine Chumash, to discover more layers of meaning. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm giving you this text of Chumash, and I'm telling you that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yachol. Kadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent, he can do what he wants. I wrote this Chumash that has within it layers and layers and layers additional embedded meaning. And it's up to the Chachmei Torah Shebechol Dar V'Dar to mine the Chumash and to discover those additional nuggets of meaning that I've left for you to find. And the tools which you're going to do that mining, the tools for discovery, are the Yud Gilamida Shatar Yashatar. So you can apply these principles, Kal V'Chomer, Gzer Shava, and so on and so forth. And you apply these principles to these tools to attempt to do your best to extract from the Chumash the additional layers of meaning Rabbeinu Shalom left for us to find. There's a lot to say about that. I mentioned later in the year we will discuss that more extensively, maybe even at some point learn together some of the Rambam's Agdan Perish HaMishnah. It's incredibly enlightening. But when you find a drasha that doesn't fit, if a chacham makes a drasha that fits the rules of the midos or drashim that Kadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu, So the idea extracted from the text of Chumash through one of the is a din deraisa. That's Tarshapa Minatara, the binding force of a din deraisa. But let's say you have a drasha that doesn't fit this style of drasha deraisa. So that's not a real drasha. It doesn't generate a drasha deraisa. I saw in the Chumash a hint of something, but that's not binding min haTorah. Many Rishonim assume that every time you have an asmachta, these drashas that Chacham had, they were really just dinim drabanan. Many Rishonim assume it's always a back formation. They invented a din drabanan with a power vest in them to invent zeros and takanas. So sometimes Chazal many Rishonim say, sometimes Chazal would, once they had din drabanan, they would point out, and by the way, it sounds a little bit like this pasuk. It's not, the connection is not in the style of a drasha gemura, so that the rem as the illusion in the pasuk doesn't generate a real din deraisa. It's only binding because it's rabbanon, but perhaps just as a mnemonic device, here's a pasuk that sounds like, so help you remember this din. Some Rishon, the Ritva, and others suggest that every once in a while a smachta is more than just a mnemonic device, and it's sort of a retrospective. Ritva says every once in a while you have an asmachta chashuva, a significant asmachta, and that, he says, means it's not in the form of one of the Mishatar Dreshlam. So this implication of the Chumash doesn't generate a din deraisa. It's not binding without a formal takana drabanan, but Ritva says sometimes it actually does communicate something. It's not just, oh, I found a helpful way to remember the din. But it's an indicator. Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes indicate that this is what he would. This is Ritzon Hashem. He's not imposing it. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not legislating it. But Chazal can read between the lines and see the implication of the psukim is that this is Ritzon Hashem, and it would be meaningful for us to do that. So Chazal may, in light of that, as a result of that Asmachta Chashuva, be misakin a din drabban. So again, that's sort of a sidebar, just the topic of Asmachta. Again, Asmachta means it doesn't fit the style, the format of the drushas gemuros, therefore it doesn't generate a din doraisa. Not tarsha b'ksav, not even tarsha p'ed doraisa, like a real drusha, like a drusha gemura. But there is a remnant from the pasuk, either just sort of once Chazal made the din drabanan and they pointed out here's a helpful way to remember the din, or maybe even it's according to the ritva, sometimes it's an indication that this is Ritzon Hashem. Either way, Rabban says, look, this is only asmachta. Tosis, by the way, says the comments in more than one place that many of the drushas of Sifrei are asmachtas. The Sifrei is full of many asmachtas, so this is not so surprising. It's okay. He says, after all, the Gemara says it's drabanan. As another aside, before we move on to see, because he says this is only asmachta, Ramban's going to want to know, one second, so what's Pshut Shamikra? What's the basic understanding of the Chumash? But I should note that the position of the Ramban is not universal. I believe there are Rishonim who say Machas Chon Shavars are Doraisa. Psukim, Joshes. The Gemara said, Ha Doraisa, Ha Drabana. So some Rishonim suggest, yeah, but it's true, Machas Chon Shavars are Drabana in that case. What's different about Machas Chon Shavars in that case the Gemara spoke about as opposed to normally?
That Shofar.
That's what some say. Machas Chon Shofar is maybe a Doraisa aspect of the mitzvah of Shofar. But to do it as freestanding, that's a Nusach HaTfilah, that's only Drabanan. It may be in conjunction, it may be a Doraisa part of, not Ma'akid the mitzvah of Shofar, but it may be a Doraisa part of enhancing the mitzvah of Shofar. Okay. The Rabban here clearly assumes that Machas Chon Shofar are entirely Drabanan, so he wants to know. And even if you would say it's a drush, you may still want to know, if you don't think it's Pshut HaMikra, if you think it's a drush from Pshut HaMikra, you're still going to want to know, what does it mean? But certainly, if you think the whole idea of Zichronos on Rosh Hashanah is entirely Drabanan, so then Mikra is Omer Darsheni, or maybe Mikra is Omer Parsheni. Well, what's Pshat and Pasuk? What does it mean? So before we move on to the way the Ramban is going to approach the Pasuk, there are a couple of questions. Any questions? Ram?
Rashi quoted a midrash that you should have Zichronos and Shofros from Zichron Truah.
Right.
And then the Ramban is, why doesn't he quote the Midrash about Malchios? And then the answer is, all three are just as Malchios.
That's the Ramban's response to this, right? The Re'eim and the Gurei try to work out why Rashi quote two but not three. Ramban is saying, right, he says, anyhow, I'm not sure why Rashi did this, but regardless, it's anyhow only asmachta, so we need to move on and dig into what I think is the pasuk is driving at. I'll be sure. Yeah.
When are you sorry asmachta?
Sukkim from Nach. We'll get that next week in Masechah Sukkos here, because that comes up on the top of Beis Mabez. Gemara and Baba Kama talks about that. We call that Divrei Kabbalah or Divrei Kabbalah. And usually we assume that when something appears in Nach, yeah, that it's usually assumed that does not. Gemara says clearly that does not generate a Din D'Oraisa. The Gemara tries to figure out. Every once in a while, it seems like we're darshining Dinim D'Oraisa for a pasuk in Navi. So the Gemara gives a solution, which may be relevant to Masechah Sukkah also, but that seems pretty clear. That a pasuk in Nach cannot generate a Din D'Oraisa. Could be an asmachta for didrabanan, or maybe it could be something else that we'll have to figure out. And even if I have like a real drasha from a pasuk in Navi, the Gemara says that's not going to be the raisa. Maybe it's a more serious drabanan, divrei Kabbalah, if it's attributed, if it's attested to in the Tanakh, yeah, but it does not generate it in the raisa. So what does Rabban say? Now we come back. He says, what does this pasuk mean? So Rabban has a lot to say. We're going to see the non-Kabbalistic part of what he has to say. Here on the bottom of the very bottom of page Kuf and Beis. Abo Zichron Teruah, Kamo Yom Tri Yelachet. It really means that this is a day of blowing shofar. Yom Arshin Ariya B'Yom Zeh, V'Yi Yelanu Liz Zikaron Lefnei Hashem. It doesn't mean that we're mechuyev to do Zichron Teruah. And Abba says, no, Abi Pshuto, it means the same as when the Torah says Yom Teruah. Right? That's a pasuk in Parashas Pinchas. In Musaf and the Rosh Hashanah, there it's described as Yom Teruah. That clearly means a day of blowing. See, that's what this means also. The mitzvah is not zikaron, to talk, to say zikronos. No. The mitzvah is to blow. But what the Torah is adding is, in blowing, what you're accomplishing is zikaron. Yom Arshinariya b'yom hazeh. Like Yom Teruah, it means we have a mitzvah to do Teruah. So yielanu lizikaronos ne'ashen. They will serve the purpose, it will accomplish the mala ar zikar before emotion. Kemoshin namar lahalanu skatan b'chatzotros v'yulachem v'zikaron v'yashem v'keichen. There's clear. Well, the chatzotros, and it will accomplish zikaron. So he says that that's what the Torah is saying here also, just it's sort of like the accordion was collapsed. Instead of having two separate clauses, you blow the chatzotros, and that will create zikar, and the Torah just put it together into zikron truah. But the Rabban says, but that really means do Teruah, and thereby accomplish Zikaron. It doesn't mean do Zikaron, the way Rashi was presented. Now, it should be noted, this is very reminiscent of the idea that the Rav develops, that we may have spoken at some point, about the two aspects of Shofar. Chron and the debate. What exactly we showed already discussed, and the Achronim get very involved in this. It's not a lot of the classical Achronim, the Yom and the Shagas Aryeh. What exactly is a mitzvah shofar? Is mitzvah shofar to blow? Is mitzvah shofar to listen? On the one hand, as we were talking just the other day, Shemei Ka'one, the Mishnah talks about Shemei Ka'one in the context of shofar, right? The Mishnah about Mechuyev V'Davar and Mechuyev V'Davar in the context of shofar. It sounds like shofar is a paradigmatic example. That's redundant. Shofar is a paradigm of Shemei Ka'one. So the Shemei Ka'one means the mitzvah is really to blow, and I'm using Shemei Ka'one to be yotzeh with your blowing. Right? If the mitzvah is to hear the shofar, I don't need Shemei Ka'one, I'm hearing the shofar. On the other hand, there are indications like the Nusach HaBracha, Machlok Tishon, what the Nusach HaBracha is. We pass case L'shmoa Kol Shofar, not Al Tkiya Shofar. It sounds like the mitzvah is Shmiya. And there are other indications also that maybe a mitzvah of Shmir. So Achronim have rise back and forth. Big machlokes Achronim. The Rav suggests that maybe the solution is that they're both right, sort of. And maybe there's the Maisa mitzvah is Tkiah, but this is one of those mitzvahs where there's a beyond the Maisa Mitzvah, there's a Kima Mitzvah. It's both part of the Mitzvah is to have a certain impact. That may, you have to do, you have to blow a shofar. You have to make the sound, I'm Yotzei by hearing Shemei Kona, but maybe the Bracha, for instance, relates not to the Maisa Mitzvah, but what the, where the Mitzvah is going. And as he's described, the Kiyam Belev. That relates to the idea we spoke about, of that the shofar is a form of tefillah, that relates to this Kiyam Belev. So that sounds like what the Ramban is seeing, at least the kernel of that idea, in the language of the Chumash. Zichur and Trua means do Trua, but understand that it accomplishes the Ikar. And if you think about it, part of the tension in Ramban is he's really bothered by what Rashi said. It sounds unlike in Pinchas, Yom Trua, which means do Trua, Zichron Trua really sounds, as Rashi had said, like do Zikaron about Trua, which would mean say the Pesukim. So Ramban is saying, no, it means do Trua, and thereby accomplish Zikaron. Now, if you understand that the accomplishing Zikaron is part and parcel of the mitzvah, that's sort of like the next step, the other aspect of the mitzvah, the Maisa mitzvah, the Kiya mitzvah, Trua and Zikaron, then that's Kedah. That actually speaks beautifully to the tension that Rashi felt that the Ramban is seeking to resolve. Is
where is shofar seen like a paradigm for Shemekona?
Because in the end of the third paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah formulates the principle that if I want to be motzi someone else Shemekona, the motzi has to be mechuyev with that. The context there is shofar. So it sounds like shofar is a classic example of Shemei Ka'ona, and the Tokea has to be Mechuy B'davar, and so too, by Kiddush, in other cases of Shemei Ka'ona, also, the Motzi has to be Mechuy B'davar. Then the Ramban goes on to say, near the top of page Kuf and Kippur, U'ba'avur sh'amar sh'am, u'v'yom simchaschem o'deichem, u'skatim v'chatoz o'oseichem, zim chesh'amechem, because the Torah says there again is Ba'aloska by the Chatozos. This is scenario number three. The Chatzotzos were gathering and organizing the camp. The Chatzotzos for Tefillah Be'ez Tzara, for Za'aka Be'ez Tzara, Al Tzara Tzareschem. And number three, Yom Simchaschem Adeichem, Rosh HaChatzeichem. In the days of Simcha, Be'ez HaMikdash, Yibo the Chatzotzos, Usekatem, the Chatzotzos, Al Seichem, Zivchen Shalmeichem, in conjunction with the Karbanos. They can't see the betrua stam, the moed hazeh belvad. There, the Torah said, be tokeya on all the Yom Tov. Here, the Torah says, blow a trua, only Rosh Hashanah. Is it redundant? The Torah already said that you're always blowing? Achar ken amar v'krav temisha. And then the Torah says, you bring a carbon here. He needs to say, how do you make sense of the two parshas? So he says, "Atrua azos eina atrua ahi shehi b'chatzotus al karbon." Don't ask me. One second. The Torah tells me about also you blow on all the Yom Tovim, and here you just tell me you blow on Rosh Hashanah. Isn't that to say this is a subset of what's going on there? He says, "No. This is two different contexts. Zos eina al karbon. The zichru trua here is not in conjunction with the carbon. He called the Chol Yisrael for he b'shofar." Number one, it's disconnected from karbanos. It applies to all Jews. It's a chovas hayach and not a chovas hatzibur. And it's shofar rather than chatzotzos. Yilat tivau adayin lasot chatzotzos. We haven't heard about chatzotzos yet. Ustam called trua b'shofarim. Kemosh nemar v'avart shofar trua. So the first job the Ramban had was to figure out how you interpret the term zichron trua. The second task that he takes on is how does this parsha fit with Baloscha, or alternatively, how do you see that here we're talking about shofar, and here we're talking about all over the world for all Jews, the chovas hayachid, and then the third question he picks up on is why. At the number six, the pirush hakasuv. That looks like a typo. I assume it's peirush, not peirush. But peirush hakasuv. Why do we need Zikaron? Because after all, let's consider what we just said. Baal Oskar talks about Zikaron by all Yom Tov. All of a sudden Rosh Hashanah,
I just told you in stage two, Rosh Hashanah is a separate added piece of shofar all over the world for all individual Jews, more so than what which is not shared by any other yom. So the question is, why? Lovi Yitzhak of the Yoso Yikar Kodesh Klal. What does that mean? Not only are we blowing shofar specific Rosh Hashanah, the Lama Yitzhak of the Yoso Yikar Kodesh Klal. In simple English, what's his final question? What is it? Yeah, what's Rosh Hashanah all about? What are you doing Rosh Hashanah? Come to think of it. This is Parsha Sevar, the first Parsha Avodim. The old Torah Islam is, oh, this one, because the first day of Tishrei, it's going to be a Zikr and Truah. What's it supposed to mean? Why? Which is a question that several Rishon deal with at the end of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Why is Rosh Hashanah on Rosh Hashanah? Or more precisely, the Mishnah Dapta Zayin Rosh Hashanah says that the entire world of Nido on Rosh Hashanah, Kabbalah, Olam, Olamah, and Gemara, is actually my focus on the Brisa. To what extent is there judgment about other things on the regular? To what extent is it really just? May sometimes say it's all happening on Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes say there's dinner every day, but the notion of din specifically Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a central Yom HaDin. So several Rishonim discussed there. Why is Yom HaDin on Al Tishrei as opposed to any other day of the year? The Eerie has one approach. But one approach is, it is a Machlokes HaTanan, whether B'nai Nisan Nivra Olam or the Tishrei Nivra Olam. Whether the sixth day of Bria was Aleph Nisan or Aleph Tishrei. If you assume that the sixth day of Bria, that the day of Bria's Adam, the day that humans first were endowed with the Neshama, was on Aleph Tishrei, which means that the Chet, the first Chet, also happened on Aleph Tishrei, the Eitz HaDaas, and the first Din, whether it was an Aleph Tishrei. Okay, so then this is the original Yom HaDin. But if you say the Nisan Nivra Olam, so what's the Zichus of Aleph Tishrei? From Shoresh. Okay, well, why is it? And to begin with, it's already complicated that Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah, sort of. Like, to a certain extent, the year starts from a month perspective, the year starts from Nisan. But then it also starts from Tishrei. If you say the Nisan Nivra Olam, what is Yom HaDin? Yom HaDin Rosh Hashanah Al Tishrei. Why? What does it mean? So the Eerie understands that it's not about the Tishrei Nivra Olam, that it's not about Eitz HaDaas, that it's because this is a period of time when especially if you're a farmer, when the money is flowing in. And this is the time of year when you get your annual lump sum salary. This is when you bring all the produce into the farm. And it's the time when the person might most tend to feel a sense of arrogance. Look at this. It's all me. Kochi don't send me out, Yasin is kind of the same. A Jew can most easily during this time of the year slip into the illusion that it's all me and I'm entirely mastering on destiny. And I don't have Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't play a role in my life. It's all about me. It's, as Meiri calls it in Rosh Hashanah, the Zman HaBi'it. It's the season of kicking. Shmai Nishur Va'ilat. Sometimes we use this name in Azim. This is the time a Jew might would naturally tend to kick away at Kaddish Baruch Hu, to install himself as the master of Israel. That's why you have a Yom HaDin. It reminds you, by the way, it reminds us that Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge. That also, Father, as an aside, explains why Din and Malchus are coherent themes of Rosh Hashanah. But the Ramban takes a different approach. And I believe the Ritva, who is the Ramban's Talmud, also writes his way in the tradition of Rosh Hashanah. Right before the number 7. The Pneishu B'chad Shoshu Yom HaKippurim, the Rosh HaChodesh. It's because this is the beginning of Yom Kippur month. Rosh Hashanah is really the prelude to Yom Kippur. This is the beginning of the month of Yom Kippur. Nireh Shabo Niyeh HaDin L'fanam Yisbar. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu chooses to begin the din process when Yom Kippur is coming. Kivam Yadin Amim Rosh Hashanah Yishiv L'Kisei Shofet Tzadik. It begins, the judgment is on Rosh Hashanah, and then Yisa, like Yeshiv L'Kisei Shofet Tzedek, sounds like it's Midas HaMishpat. Yachar came, Aseres Hayamin, Yisof Eshabat. Then, of course, Aseres Ben Tshuva, the Shmuel would say it's Chesed. Rama is our custom for Indian Kasha, known to be so, in the view of both opposite of Kosha. Rabban closes back by saying the Torah is hinting to this idea which was known throughout Kal Yisrael from the Nevi'im, and all going all back to Abbas HaKadosh. In other words, he's saying, he touching lightly on a topic that he takes from a great length in his famous Drasha to Rosh Hashanah, which is that the Chumash never says directly, Hashanah is Yom Adin. He points out, okay, but it's been Tarshal Peh, it's been our Masorah for millennia, and this is Yom Adin. And that's what the Rabban is putting here. This is it was a very, very, very robust Masorah about that. And he says, the truth is, the Chumash is, if you read carefully, the Chumash is cluing you into this. Because that's what Zichron True is, how it ties it all together. That's what Zichron True is all about. Why do you need Zikar? Why is there a more of a mitzvah of blowing on Rosh Hashanah than any other Yom Kippur? It's not just Tatar Tzuvay Zamikdash as a Chumash Sibur, but every single Jew is a Chumash Yom Kippur to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. And why is it described as creating Zikaron? Chatzotras always do that. But Rosh Hashanah, we do more, much more. Everyone's blowing shofar. Why? Because apparently the Jews use Zikaron. That's hinted to the fact, and now is that's the clue in Chumash that Rosh Hashanah is Yom Adin. Why Rosh Hashanah Yom Adin? And here he says again, not like Beniri, he says it's not just because of where people are in terms of their fiscal year, but it's because of the proximity to Yom Kippur. Not that Yom Kippur followed Rosh Hashanah, that Rosh Hashanah precedes Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur, which is what the Hebrew brother says, because that's when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai with the second set of Luchos. That it happened 2 days from now. Right? The original Kaparas HaTzibur, the first palpable expression, physical manifestation that Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving us all like a chance, the second set of Luchos. Right? So that's Yom Kippur. So this is the Zman Masugah of the Kaparah. The Zman Masugah of the Rachim. So at the beginning of the month, the Kadosh Baruch Hu already begins the process of Din, and that's Rosh Hashanah. It's in the Mechaz de Hashem, and he. Echaz Hashem, the Kadosh Baruch Hu situated Yom Adin in the season of Racham, in the season of Kapar, as opposed to having Yom Adin at a time when we'd be in a worse hole and with less leverage. So that's Echaz Hashem. The Rambam goes on to say that, but we're not going to read within the rest because he has one of the telltale signs is that the version of the Kabbalah is on Derech HaEmes. Derech HaEmes, you understand Torah even more deeply and an even more real level, then he starts going. So I talk about that. 10 days of Seres Ben Tshuva correspond to 10 spheres, and Racham and Din, and both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur have elements of Chesed and Gura, but Rosh Hashanah is Din with a side of Racham. And Yom Kippur is Racham with a side of Din. What that means in detail, I don't know. As a matter of fact, Ramban, in his instructions to the reader, at the end of the Akadama to the Perish, he says, by the way, I will have segments of Kabbalah in my Sefer, and I'm telling you in advance, this is very clear, guys. I'm telling you in advance, if you've not been initiated, don't even try. He says, because trust me, you'll get it wrong. There's more or less, I'm paraphrasing. He says, if you or Bema have not taught you to appreciate, to understand Kabbalah, then just skip it. If you see Aderech HaEmes or one of those other terms, that means you can move on to the next paragraph. So we don't know exactly what it means, but again, it sort of expresses an idea, which the Ritva is capturing in his Chidush Lashav. But there is already an element of Chesed in Rosh Hashanah. The very fact that it's near Yom Kippur is already a Mechaz de Hashem. And he says, in terms of the blend of Din and Rachamin, the Midas HaDin is more prominent on Rosh Hashanah, and the Midas HaRacham is more prominent on Yom Kippur. But it's a flow, and it's a part of a larger process and a larger structure. This gives us a sense of the power that's available to us in these days. We've spoken about it already more than once. In terms of tefillah, and this is not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes himself available,
Right? If it's available, it's easier to die or daven more potent. What does that mean? What lies below that? This is the time of HaKadosh Baruch Hu extending rachmah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chasdo decided to time or to schedule our din for the period of greatest rachmah. And now is the period of greatest rachmah. Now is the period where, in simple terms, where we can most easily perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always loves us. But sometimes he's mistake. It has to part of. Sometimes he's still watching us, but we can't see him watching us. Sometimes we can't feel the love as much. That's a question of our perception. We're able to access, we're able to perceive the Rachmei Shamayim more during this period of the year. Memela, presumably, Memela, our davening is going to be of even greater potency during this time. Davro.
So it sounds like the day that Rachmei Shamayim first said, and Hashem decided to put him in the kipper,
it sounds like the way he's presenting it, yeah.
Why?
Yeah, that's a good question. The Arsram of the Spirit raised that question explicitly, I forget whom. Why not have the Kapara first and the Din second? I'm sorry? First have true, then have Din. Yeah. He starts, Ramban starts talking about Rosh HaChodesh. What do you say? Ah, okay. Ephraim suggesting if total kapara happened first, the people would be cocky and people would not be motivated to move forward. Yeah, what do you say?
Oh, I had a different question.
Okay, so let's come back. You responding to?
Yeah.
Right, the judgment presumably is then. He's asking why not have the judgment after you went through the cleansing of Yom Kippur. What does din mean?
I meant
Oh, you're saying that there's judgment versus verdict. That's interesting. I guess that may be a very powerful way of thinking about judgment. In other words, the assessment of where we're at happens on Rosh Hashanah. And then, once that assessment is in place, so we have 10 days to seek the par ourselves in the best place, best situation for what that assessment of last year is gonna translate into in terms of what happens in this coming year. That's the prism. Right. So the prism, Tiras Mechu, is the prism through which the Mishpat about Tav Shana and Zion is refracted into decisions of what Tavshan and Chesed will come. And also, he keeps stressing, and he stresses in the Kabbalistic part also, but I see the words, I don't even know what they mean, but get some very loose contour of what he means. Then, like he's talking like this whole chunk of time is the time of Kapar, a climax in Yom Kippur. But he sounds like he says it's sort of like a continuum. Rosh Hashanah, it's mostly Din in the sense of Midas HaDin, and with some Midas HaRachamim. And then Yom Kippur already is sort of the pendulum of swung, and it's primarily the Iker is Rachamim, sort of like so to speak, the Din Midas HaDin is the top one. It sounds as though, again, to the extent that one can figure out what the Mabah is driving at, it's sort of like, it's not that it happens Rosh Hashanah, then it goes away, then you come back in Yom Kippur, but it's sort of like that shift is occurring over the course. You're gradually moving across the spectrum over the course of a series of two. But, so you're saying as we get started with assessment, the starting point, part one, and then over the course of the 10 days of, for us, 10 days of tshuva, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, 10 days of rachamim, so we can work through and hopefully use, access the rachamim, do tshuva on our end, express our Avos Hashem, and access Avos Hashem to us, and then process through the mishpat about last year into what the din's going to be for the coming. Very nice. You had a question?
Yeah. The Ramban was concerned with the repetition between Ma'alosha and Emor, right?
Yes.
So then how come he's not concerned with the repetition between Zichron Shua and Yom Shua?
That is a great question. That's an excellent question. He's not worried about redundancy of language. That's a good question too. Which the Bava Yerushalayim both take up. Why do you have to do two pesukim? Yom Tov and Zichron Tov. But he's not worried about redundancy of language. Why doesn't the Torah say it more than once? What he's worried about here is redundancy of ideas. In other words, we have a mitzvah to blow on all the Yom Tovim. So what do you mean have a mitzvah to blow on Rosh Hashanah? I mean, the mitzvah of all the Yom Tovim. I know this, not just as the Torah formulated the same thing twice, but the Torah is forming two different things, the only reason to cohere. It's the LMI, that there's a rhetorical question. The point is to point out, yeah, there's a general mitzvah of Echova Sibur of Chatzotis Beis HaMikdash and Yom Tovim, but here the Torah is adding a whole new mitzvah, vastly expanding, but the same thing. The Torah says the Chatzotis is Zikaron, the blowing leads to Zikaron, that's Rosh Hashanah, but in a much more expanded way. It's a Chovas Yachid, it's all over the world, even without Karbanos, and it's a Shofar rather than Chatzos. Yeah, final question.
Why would it say, the Torah usually says Skatem just as Ruah and then it says Zichron Shua Rosh Hashanah, it's not connected to Karbanos? What is that trying to say?
What we just said. That the Torah in Mahalosra talks about blowing chatzotzos in every Yom Tov, but when the Chumash here and Kiva pointed out Chumash here and in Parashas Pinchas talks about specifically about Trura on Rosh Hashanah, that's adding a new set of rules and expectations, a Chumash Hayachid with the shofar all over the world that the Torah in Mahalosra is not discussing and isn't true on other Yom Tov. I thought you were also going to say the Ramban is subtly raising a question he doesn't answer, which is, it sounds like Nailani is also trying to say that there it was Tkia and here it's Trua. Here and in Pinchas. When we talk about the mitzvah of Shofar Rosh Hashanah, it's Trua. And there it's Skata. I believe that he does not answer in the part of the Ramban we learned. I think he says something about that in the Chelaka Adarach Emes. He says something about what Shua means, what Tkia means. I know what it means. I don't know what he means. Not lo zachisi lahavin. But it sounds like he is already raising that question. But that some of the questions he answers on Derech Nigla, that question about Tkia versus Shua, he answers only on Derech Nistar. I think he says something to do with Din and Rachman. But I'm really, 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 really not sure. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, these ideas. So we're not going to blow shofar on Yom Kippur, but the shofar Rosh Hashanah is really rooted. We're going to blow shofar b'derech minig at the end of Yom Kippur. We're not going to mitzvah shofar Yom Kippur, but according to Ramban, the shofar Rosh Hashanah really is a consequence of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is where it's really all at. As a result, we have also Rosh Hashanah to get this period that leads to a climax in Yom Kippur started, we begin, and for the Mishpat, we begin with Shofar. But that's really beginning the process that leads to and is driven by and is ultimately centered around Yom Kippur. To give us a sense of, just to appreciate a little bit of the gift that we are, the gift we're about to enjoy. We should take full advantage of the gift of Yom Kippur.